Good evening, welcome to Mashiach Mystery Series. So tonight we are continuing the topic that we started a couple weeks ago about how Avodas Hashem will be like when Mashiach comes, how our service of Hashem will look like. So in the previous weeks we talked about how the study of Torah, learning Torah, how that's going to be. Last week we spoke about the knowledge of Hashem and teaching each other what that's going to be like. So we know that the world stands on three pillars: Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. So we discussed last 2 weeks primarily the concept of Torah, and this week we're going to focus on the other pillar that the world stands on, which is Gemilas Chasadim, Tzedakah and Gemilas Chasadim. So we'll begin over here with the Gemara in Shabbos, Kufnun Aleph Amud Aleph, 151a. Now over here we'll see in this Gemara, in this passage of the Talmud, that it would seem that, at least according to one opinion, when Mashiach will come, there will no longer be tzedakah. We will no longer give tzedakah anymore, and we'll see why. So we see it, it's on the last, third to last word on the line, V'tanya. Was taught in a braisa, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Rabbi Shimon, son of Elazar, said, "Asei she'ata moitzei, do what Rashi says. Asei tzedakah, do tzedakah, give tzedakah. Ad she'ata moitzei, while you can still find," says Rashi, "lemi lasos, to whom to give tzedakah. Umatzei lecha, and while you still have money. Ve'oidcha biyadecha." And it's still in your hands. Meaning to say, Rashi says, "Oidcha b'rshuscha kodem shetamos," while you still have power before you pass away. Va'af Shloimeh amar b'chachmasei, and likewise, Shloimeh HaMelech, King Solomon, said in his wisdom, "Uzechoyer es b'racha b'mei b'churei secha," remember your Creator in the days of your youth. "Ad asher lo yavoyu yimei hara," before the days of evil come upon you. What does that refer to? Elu yimei hazikna. That refers to the days of old age. And then Shlomo HaMelech continues. King Solomon concludes, "V'higiu shanim asher toimar ein li bohem chefetz." Years will come in which you will say, "I have no desire." What does that mean? Elu yimei haMashiach. These refer to the days of Mashiach. She'ein bohem leischus v'leichoiva. In the days of Mashiach, there will be no schus. What does that mean? Rashi says, "Loi davar lizkais bai." There will be nothing to become meritorious through. Shekula mashirim. Everyone will be rich. There will be no way to have a schus by giving tzedakah because everyone will be rich. Everyone will be wealthy. V'lei chayva, and there will be no opportunity also to sin. Says Rashi, "La'ameitz lei v'lik poitziad," meaning to be strong of heart and to hold your hand back. In other words, to withhold from giving tzedakah. So in other words, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is saying in this verse, and the way he's interpreting also what Shlomo HaMelech said, is when Mashiach will come, everyone will be wealthy, and it won't be possible to give tzedakah anymore. No one will need tzedakah. However, the Gemara points out, "Upliga de Shmuel." However, this is in conflict with Shmuel. The Omar Shmuel says, "Ein bein ha'olam hazeh limaisa Mashiach el ha'shibud malchiz bilvad." Shmuel's of the opinion, famous opinion quoted many, many places in Shas, that the only difference between this world and the world to come, and the times of Mashiach, is literally the subjugation of government. In other words, when Mashiach will come, the Jewish people, we will be under the reign of Mashiach and will no longer be under other nations, other kingdoms. But as far as the rest of the way the world's going to work, it's going to be the same. Shenemar, and he quotes the pasuk that says, "Ki lo yechdal avyeh mikarav aretz." It says, there will never cease to be a poor man in the earth. In other words, Shmuel's understanding that literally that even after Mashiach comes, there will still be poor people. And therefore, it will still be possible to give tzedakah. Okay. So now, just to point out over here. So it seems that there's a dispute over here in the Gemara, what's going to happen when Mashiach comes? Will there still be poor people and will still be able to give tzedakah, or maybe not? So there's The Rebbe spoke at length in many occasions that even according to the opinion of Shmuel, which the Rambam paskins like, so the Rambam himself indicates that there will come a further era in the times of Mashiach when there will, when miracles will occur, and the nature of the world will change. So, meaning to say that eventually, everyone will become wealthy, and even according to the opinion of Shmuel, seemingly, there will come a time when it will no longer be possible to fulfill the mitzvah tzedakah, since everyone will have everything they need. And so the dispute over here is only regarding the initial stage, the initial era when Mashiach comes. But afterwards, everyone agrees that eventually the world will change and will no longer be able to fulfill the mitzvah tzedakah. Okay, so we have a few questions over here. So let's begin with question number one. Question number one is that we know the Rambam says in his introduction to Sefer HaMitzvahs, to his book of mitzvahs, that the only mitzvahs that are counted in the Taryag mitzvahs, in the 613 mitzvahs, are mitzvahs that apply for all generations. Apply for all generations. A mitzvah that was only a temporary mitzvah is not considered one of the 613 mitzvahs. So let's take, for example, there was a mitzvah that the Jewish people had in the Midbar not to leave the mun, right, the mun that came from heaven. They weren't allowed to leave it till the next day, right? That's not included in the Taryag mitzvahs, in the 613 mitzvahs, because that was a mitzvah that was only for that generation, only for that time. And so it's not applicable to all generations. So the question is, tzedakah is in fact one of the 613 mitzvahs. I believe definitely by the Rambam. The Rambam includes it in one of the 613 mitzvahs, and I believe also many of the other commentators who enumerate the 613 mitzvahs. So if when Mashiach will come, we'll no longer fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah, so why is it one of the 613 mitzvahs? That's our first question. So I believe the answer is a very simple answer. And the Rambam himself, in his Sefer HaMitzvahs, in a number of places, the Rambam gives the answer to this question. So this is just one example. This is Mitzvah Saseh Kuf Pei Zayin, Mitzvah Saseh, the Positive Commandment 187. So over there, the Rambam says that there's a mitzvah to wipe out the seven nations, right? The seven nations that inhabited the land of Canaan, meaning Eretz Yisrael. The Jewish people, they had to wipe them out, meaning either they had to accept the Shavah Mitzvah B'nei Noach, and they had to, accept to be, so to say, second class, or they were to be killed out. Now, the Rambam asks that, question is like this: V'ula yachshev choshev. Maybe a person will think, "Shezayis mitzvah she'ain in the hagis l'dayres." This is a mitzvah that doesn't apply for all generations. Achar sheshiva amamin kvar avdu. Says the seven nations there have already been destroyed. V'zeh onnam yachshev oisem mishli haven inin mining l'dayres ve'ain in neg l'dayres. He said you could only make that mistake if you haven't correctly understood the concept of something which applies for all generations. He says a command that is fulfilled when you reach its end, meaning when you fulfill the commandment, but it's not dependent on any specific time. That's not considered something that's not applicable for all generations. Says this mitzvah applies in any time, in any generation, when you'll have the possibility to fulfill that mitzvah. So he goes on. I'm not going to read all of everything that he says over here, but the point is, the point that Rambam is saying is as follows. He's saying the mitzvah to annihilate the seven nations, that applies in all generations. And any generation, when you will find the seven nations, so then you have a mitzvah to wipe them out. Now, it's possible that they have already been annihilated, so we've already done the job. But theoretically speaking, right, if this generation, Mashiach will come, right, and there'll be some seven nations, we'll find one of the seven nations. So there'll be a mitzvah to wipe out one of the seven nations. So in other words, when we say that a mitzvah has to apply for all generations, it means that theoretically speaking, if you have the opportunity to fulfill that mitzvah, so then there's a mitzvah to fulfill it. He says the same thing applies to wiping out Amalek. Amalek. What happens once we wipe out Amalek? Or what happens in this generation? We don't know who Amalek is. Does that mean that we don't have a mitzvah to wipe out Amalek today? No, there's a mitzvah to wipe out Amalek today. Happens to be, we don't know who Amalek is. Or after Mashiach comes, we will wipe out Amalek and then we finish the job. But still, the mitzvah still applies in all generations. Because the mitzvah is, if you have the opportunity to fulfill that mitzvah, then you have to fulfill it. It doesn't mean that you'll always have that opportunity. So this is the foundation that the Rambam lays down over here. That when we say that a mitzvah has to apply in all generations, what it means is not that in any given day it has to be possible literally to fulfill that mitzvah. It means that in every single day you have a mitzvah that if you had that opportunity, you have to fulfill it. In other words, let's say today the man will fall from heaven. Let's say today there'll be man that will fall from heaven. Will there be an issur, a prohibition that you can't leave it to the next morning? No, right? That was a mitzvah that only applied in the desert when they had man in the desert. It's not that any time man falls from heaven you can't leave it till the morning. That's not what the mitzvah is. The mitzvah was for that generation. It was only specifically for that time. So the same thing we could also apply to tzedakah. What is the mitzvah of tzedakah? Mitzvah of tzedakah is whenever you see a person who's in need of something, so you have to provide them with their need. That's what the mitzvah of tzedakah is. It's usually in a monetary sense. So now, even when Mashiach will come, so if you'll find a poor man, there will be a mitzvah to give him tzedakah. Now it happens to be you won't find a poor man because we'll all be wealthy. We will all have all our needs. But the mitzvah of tzedakah still applies in a theoretical sense, meaning if you will find a poor man at the time of Mashiach, there will still be a mitzvah to give him tzedakah. So the answer seems is pretty straightforward. So the mitzvah of tzedakah is a mitzvah that applies in all generations, even when Mashiach comes, whenever you have that opportunity. So the real question is really a deeper question, that as we mentioned before, the Mishnah in the beginning of Avay says that Al Shleisha Dvarim Ha'olam Oimed, the world stands on three things, three pillars: Torah, Avoda, and Gemilas Chasadim. Right, the study of Torah, Avoda, which refers to Karbanes, and Gemilas Chasadim, acts of loving kindness, which usually primarily refers to the mitzvah of tzedakah. So how could it be that when Mashiach will come, we won't have that amud, we won't have that pillar? What, when Mashiach will come, suddenly the world is going to be lacking the pillar of Gemilas Chasadim? That seems to be completely antithetical to the whole concept of Mashiach. Mashiach is a time when we'll be able to fulfill all the mitzvahs properly. So how will it be possible to even say that when Mashiach will come, suddenly the whole pillar that the world, one of the three pillars that the world stands on, won't be actualized, will only exist in some theoretical sense? So we have to come onto some other answers over here. So we'll explore three different answers of how to answer this question. So the first answer we have over here is from the Chassam Sofer, of Moshe Sofer. So in his commentary on Chumash, Parshas B'chukosai, so he comments on this idea, starting on the third line. He says, he says, we know, it says the world stands on these three pillars, Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. So now the Chassam Sofer points out another interesting thing. What does Avodah refer to? Avodah refers to the service of Karbanes. Karbanis. That's what it refers to specifically. Yeah, but there is a concept of davening also that it's avoida, but avoida specifically refers to karbanis. So nowadays we don't have a Beis Hamikdash till Mashiach comes. So how do we have the pillar, the umud of avoida? Oh, so he says, which is karbanis. So it says the Chasam Sofer v'zman hazeh ein lanu avoida. Nowadays we don't have avoida v'rak. Al yidei limud ha-Torah, anu yecholim lekayim gam ha-avoida. How are we able to fulfill? How are we able to sustain the pillar of avoida? It's also through the study of Torah. How so? They call ha-oisik b'teras oila kilu hikriv oila. Our sages say whoever involves himself in the study of a korban oila, it's considered as if he brought a korban oila. And if a person studies the law of chatas, of a korban chatas, it's as if he brought a korban chatas. The same applies to all the other korbanos. However, nowadays, we have to do gemilas chasadim in the physical, simple sense. We actually have to give money to each other and do gemilas chasadim in the literal physical sense, not to study about it. Says the Chasam Sofer. So in other words, nowadays we're not doing avoda in the regular sense. How are we doing avoda? We're doing avoda through study of Torah. However, in the time to come of Mashiach, Keshigia Olam Hatikun, then the world will be fixed. The world will be rectified. Then the avoda will be bepoil. Meaning, then we'll have korbanos. Gemilas chasadim lo yutzrichim, but gemilas chasadim we won't need. Because each man will be under his vineyard and under his fig tree. V'kulam yedu es Hashem l'miktana v'ad g'daylam. Everyone will know Hashem from smallest to greatest. V'lo yitztarich ish l'riyeyu, no man will need his friend. U'bila hamavis l'netzach, and death will be swallowed up forever. So then we'll fulfill Gemilas Chasadim through study of Torah as well. The Kol HaOisik, the Parsha Ahu. That whoever is involved in that Parsha, so he will, right? He will be considered as if he is giving Gemilas Chasadim. So basically, what the Chasam Sofer is saying is a very interesting thing. Just like nowadays, how do we fulfill avoda? How do we do korbanos through study of Torah? When Mashiach will come, how will we give gemilas chasadim? No one will need gemilas chasadim. No one will need tzedakah through studying about gemilas chasadim. Through learning about gemilas chasadim, will be as if we gave gemilas chasadim. So the Chasam Sofer is saying that we will have also a practical way of fulfilling gemilas chasadim when Mashiach comes through studying Torah. Okay, so that's one approach. Now we'll see another approach from the Rebbe. This is from the Sikh of Shabbos Parshas Kisavi Tavshin Memtes, 1989. So this was, the Rebbe brought it by the way, in the Farbrengen. The Rebbe asked, "V'yishal ayin keitzed yakir mitzvah satzdaka la'asid lavay." Rebbe asks, how are we going to fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah when Mashiach comes? After the prophecy is fulfilled that there will no longer be poor men, how will we fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah? Yeshloimai, says the Rebbe, the Shekivan Shigam la'asilava yechiluk ben tanim l'gdoilam. So what did we learn last week? That even when Mashiach comes, there will be still differences between, there will be people who are great and people who are small. As it says that everyone will know me, everyone equally will know Hashem, but at the same time, there will still be small and great. So therefore, it will still be possible for those who are great to give tzedakah to those who are small. In other words, what the Rebbe is saying is that the tzedakah will be given in a spiritual sense. So there's tzedakah in the physical sense, but then there's spiritual tzedakah as well. It brings to mind that famous yechidus, private audience that the Mashpia of Nissen Nemenov from France, from Brunois, had with the Rebbe. So after the Rebbe started Mitzvah Tefillin, the Tefillin campaign, so this was a whole novel idea to some of the older chassidim, that Bachim Yeshiva should go out and they should go out into the streets of New York or the streets of Paris and offer Jews to put on tefillin with them. And Reb Nissen Nemenov, the Mashpi of the Yeshiva, was concerned that this would take away from the Bachrim's own personal Avodah Hashem. What about the Bachrim putting their efforts into their own learning and their own davening? And so the Rebbe told Reb Nissen that the Alter Rebbe writes in Torah Oyer that the pasuk says tzedakah teraimim goy. Says that when a person gives tzedakah, it elevates the nation. Which means when a person gives tzedakah, nasa moichay velibay zakim elafamim kacha. When a person studies Torah, his mind and heart become purified 1,000 times fold. And the Rebbe continued. The Rebbe told him, listen, that means that the Alter Rebbe was talking about physical tzedakah, but the same thing also applies to a spiritual tzedakah. When a young bachur goes over to a Jew who's not affiliated and doesn't yet know about the mitzvah, about the importance of putting on tefillin, and he gives him the opportunity to put on tefillin, he's doing tzedakah. He's giving him a spiritual tzedakah. Spiritual tzedakah, giving him the opportunity to do a mitzvah, Hashem's mitzvah. So the Rebbe told Reb Nissen that the Bochum's minds will become purified 1,000 times fold. Something that will take them a half hour, 500 hours to learn, it'll take them a half hour to learn. Something that will take 1,000 hours to learn, they'll be able to learn in 1 hour. So in other words, the concept of tzedakah, the Rebbe is saying a similar thing when Mashiach will come, will be a spiritual tzedakah. Spiritual tzedakah, there'll be people who are called gedolim, who are great, even when Mashiach comes, and people who are ktanim. However, the Rebbe points out, "Emuven she'ena kavana l'ktana mamash." Obviously, when we're talking about people who are small, it's in a relative sense, relatively speaking. "Elektana biyachas le'inin b'suyim she'makabel me'hasheni." It means that since they're receiving something from someone else, so therefore we refer to them as people who are small. But it's not that they're literally small, because you know, when Mashiach will come, everybody will know Hashem, and everybody will be on a much greater level than they are nowadays. Dugma l'davar. So an example of this idea, how you could have someone who, even though he's very great, like we'll all be when Mashiach comes, nevertheless, in a certain sense, or at a certain moment, he needs tzedakah, so to say, from someone else. Interesting example. Amru Chazal, our sages say, Ki koi Rabbi baha mesechta li teshayli b'mesechta achrisi. Our sages say, when Rebbe is involved in this mesechta, in this tractate of the Talmud, don't ask him about a different mesechta. So what do you see from that? Kalaimai, what you see from this is as follows. We're talking about a true sage. Adi Rabbeinu HaKadosh. We're talking about the holy Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Besadir HaMishnayis, the one who organized the Mishnayis, the greatest of the great. Or Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Shia, who organized the Braises. Which obviously, they were fluent in all Mesechtes of Shas. Nevertheless, when they were involved in one mesechta, says the Gemara that you shouldn't ask them about a different mesechta. On the other hand, since he's a true Rebbe, so now what's going to happen? Rebbe's involved in this mesechta, but now someone comes and asks him a practical halachic shayla. So now it's his responsibility. He has to take himself out of the mesechta he's involved in, so to say, and find out the answer and answer the person who's asking him this practical halachic question that's relevant right now. So what do you do? He's involved in another mesechta. His mind is somewhere else. So what's the etzah? What do you do? What does this Rebbe do? He asks someone who's involved in that subject in which the Shaila was asked, in which the halakha question was asked. And he gives over the halacha in the name of the person who told him. So what follows? So it comes out that when Rebbe's involved in this mesechta, and he has to figure out a certain thing, at that moment, Rebbe is small. So that's the idea. So the Rebbe is just giving an example of how you can have the greatest of the great, but at a certain moment, or at a certain in a certain situation, he should still need the help of someone else. Right? Like Rebbe, when he's involved in one mesechta, he needs to answer a practical halachic shayla about another subject, so he has to ask someone else at that moment, since his mind is somewhere else, even though he's fluent in everything. So a similar thing when Mashiach will come, even though we'll all be great, we'll all know Hashem, and our knowledge of Torah and everything will be on a much greater level. Nevertheless, it will still be possible to give tzedakah and to receive tzedakah from someone else in a spiritual sense. Spiritual tzedakah. Okay, so that's the second answer, a second way of explaining how we will have tzedakah when Mashiach comes. Okay, this third answer is unbelievable answer. This is, again, the Rebbe just mentioned this at the end of a sicha in Chai Elo Tafshin Lama Tess, 18th of Elul, 1979. So the Rebbe concluded the sicha. The Rebbe was talking about giving tzedakah. The Rebbe says that durch der Hanhoga wird man sicher sein bekollet zum Kium Hayud von Loiya Bechaevi, that through acting in a way of giving tzedakah will merit the fulfillment of the prophecy that there will no longer be any poor men. V'yesh loimar as b'chol zeh ved der inyan fun gemilach chasadam oich dan zayin. Despite the fact that there will no longer be any poor people, nevertheless, there will still be the concept of gemilach chasadam. So here the Rebbe is going to say, not like the Chassam Sofer said, not through studying about gemilach chasadam, not through a spiritual gemilach chasadam, but through a regular, simple gemilach chasadam. So why? Why will we? How and why will there be gemilach chasadam? Says the Rebbe, need vayel der asher vet muzin ankumen to gemilach chasadam. It's not because the wealthy man will need gemilach chasadam. He won't need a loan. He won't need money. But demult is erdach an because if he'll need money, so at that moment, at that time, in that instance, so he's considered poor. No, why will it be gemilas chasadim? Because dem amud from gemilas chasadim. We'll give gemilas chasadim just in order that we should have the pillar of gemilas chasadim. Vasis fundi gimel amudim shaleim ha'olam oimed, because gemilas chasadim is one of the three pillars on which the world stands. Uva agol didan, it should happen immediately. So the Rebbe is saying an amazing thing, that when Mashiach will come, we'll still give gemilas chasadim to each other. But not because we'll need to give gemilas chasadim to each other. Just in order to have this pillar, in order to have the pillar of gemilas chasadim. So, right. So that's why we'll give each other money. So it almost seems like ridiculous almost, right? It almost seems funny that we're just going to be giving each other money and loaning each other money just in order to fulfill it. So the truth is, that, first of all, there is a story that the Friedrich Rebbe tells, and the Rebbe also quotes the story in a letter, in the Guskodesh, the Rebbe's letters, a similar story that happened, obviously, before the coming of Mashiach. So it's in Igros Kodesh in Chelek Zion, the volume 7 over here. It's a letter written to the Chevra Gemilas Chasadim, Rabbi Avram Sharfstein, Rabbi Yechanan Gordon, who had a gemach, they had a free loan society. And in the letter, the Rebbe quotes a story from the Friedrich Rebbe about the greatness of the mitzvah of Gemilas Chasadim. He tells the story how there was a simple store owner in the city of Polotsk. His name was Rabbi Yisrael, in the city of Polotsk. He was the chassid of the Tzemach Tzedek. And he came to Lubavitch on Shabbos Parshas Vayera, 1 year. And he heard a mimer from the Tzemach Tzedek. He heard a mimer chassidus that Avram, the Tzemach Tzedek spoke in the Maamar that Avram Avinu, he says, he was a nadiv begufay b'mamaynei uvenafshay. He was generous with his, both with his body, his money, and his soul. And the Tzemach Tzedek then explained how Avram Avinu, although he was a person of flesh and blood down here in this world, he, so to say, took the place of the sphere of chesed of Atzilus. I mean, Hashem's sphere of chesed. Avram Avinu's chesed was so great that it replaced what the sphere of chesed, Hashem's chesed, does. The Rebbe also mentions this in Hayom Yom. And so the Tzemach Tzedek said in the Maamar, so you can understand that Avram Avinu was even higher than the sphere of chesed of Atzilus, right? If he replaced it, he was on a higher level. And so Rabbi Yisrael is a simple Jew. He didn't understand like the whole Maamar that the Tzemach Tzedek said, but those couple words he grasped. And so he came home and he told it over by Chassidus Shefabrengen. Chassidim got together and then he went off to his business. So now, even though he didn't need any money, but he went over to his friend, Reb Nachman, who also had another store, and he asked him for a loan because he wanted to be mezakeh Reb Nachman with a loan. And then also he went to another store owner, right? Other store owners, because they also heard about them, this unbelievable mile of Gemilas Chasadim. So each one, the whole day, they were borrowing money from each other in order to fulfill the Amun of Gemilas Chasadim. So when Rabbi Yisrael came back to Lubavitch, the Tzemach Tzedek called him, and he asked him about what he was doing. And later, the Rebbe Maharash asked the Tzemach Tzedek, what did he see on Rabbi Yisrael? Why did he call him over and ask him what he was doing? So the Tzemach Tzedek answered that he saw on Rabbi Yisrael, the store owner, he saw an omud oyer of chesed atzilus. He said he saw a pillar of light of chesed of atzilus. In other words, you see what this Rabbi Yisrael, what he accomplished by just giving to Gemilas Chasadim, what we call stamazai, just in order to fulfill the concept of Gemilas Chasadim. So this is like a ma'ein, this is like a taste of the way we're going to give Gemilas Chasadim when Mashiach comes. So I think over here in the footnote over here, the Rebbe mentions the Medrash about Kesef Talvas Ami is in order to answer Chesed V'Emes Mani and Seru. If I'm not mistaken, that's the famous Medrash that David HaMelech asked Hashem that why does Hashem make poor people? Why does He make that there should be poor people there should be poor people? Everybody, Hashem should provide for everybody. Why is it that some people are poor? So what Hashem answered was that chesed ve'emes man yinseruhu. Now, if not for the fact that there are poor people, so who's going to do chesed? Who's going to do chesed? In other words, the purpose of the existence of poverty is really in order that those who have the money, those who are wealthy, they should be able to give tzedakah. So what it comes down is a very interesting thing. That really the ultimate goal is, it's not, you think of tzedakah, what's the purpose of tzedakah, right? So just at face value, the purpose is to provide for the needs of those who don't have, right? Those who don't have the money, those who don't have the means. But in a deeper sense, the Medrash is teaching us, if that were the case, so Hashem could provide for them. But Hashem needs us to provide for poor people. So in a deeper sense, the purpose of the reason why Hashem creates poverty is in order to give the aschus to those who do have the money, to the rich, that they should be able to provide for the poor. So what's going to happen when Mashiach will come? What's going to happen when Mashiach will come is that we're going to give tzedakah without people being poor. We'll do gemilas chasadim, more correctly stated. We'll do gemilas chasadim without people having to be poor. In other words, this is really touching on a whole deeper understanding of the nature of life when Mashiach comes. See, the world before Mashiach comes, we spoke about this also 2 weeks ago in regard to learning Torah. This fits with the general theme of Mashiach. This is the world now before Mashiach is a world of Birurim. Basically, just to maybe translate that in a simple way, it's about fixing problems. About fixing problems. We have a world that has issues, that has problems. There's good, there's evil, right? Both in the world at large and personally, you have an Nefesh HaBahamas, and even as we spoke 2 weeks ago, in Torah itself, there's lack of clarity, and we have to fix the problems, right? And that's what our whole goal is. That's our whole motivation, is to fix problems, right? In other words, the world is, so to say, not a dwelling place for Hashem, and we have to change it, we have to transform it and make it a dwelling place for Hashem. When Mashiach will come, that's going to be done already. We'll already have fixed all the problems, right? There will be no poor people, there will be no problems anymore that we have to fix. So what's going to be the nature of Avodas Hashem when Mashiach comes? What are we going to be accomplishing? So the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, in Geres HaKodesh, what he calls it is Liyachid Yehudim, which basically means to reach a higher level of Kedusha, a higher level of holiness. So in other words, we're going to do Torah mitzvahs not to fix a problem, not because the world is not a dwelling place for Hashem and now we have to transform it and make it into a dwelling place for Hashem. Rather, the purpose is going to be aliyahs, to elevate the world to a higher level. So a similar thing also is in regard to tzedakah and gemilas chasadim. So nowadays, tzedakah and gemilas chasadim, the nature is that there's a problem. There's people who are poor, people don't have needs, right? And we have to fix the problem. Those who have money, they have to give tzedakah, they have to give gemilas chasadim in order that people should have what they need. Because that's the nature of the time of Golos. That's the nature of the world before the coming of Mashiach. After Mashiach will come, so we won't be giving gemilas chasadim or tzedakah because we're looking to fix a problem because there's poor people that don't have. We're going to be giving it because like the Rebbe says, that's the ummah that the world stands on. In other words, what Hashem wants is that people should give. People should give to each other. That's what Gemilas Chasadim is about. So nowadays, why do people give? Because someone else is lacking. There's a deficiency. You need to fill it. Someone else is lacking. When Mashiach will come, we'll give just because the goal is to give. It's not going to be to give in order to fix a problem. So just trying to bring out over here that at first glance, it seems as if the Rebbe is saying, okay, so Mashiach will come, we'll find an excuse in order to fulfill Gemilas Chasadim, right? We'll just do it because there was an Indian, there's this idea of giving Gemilas Chasadim. But the truth is, I think that would be a misunderstanding. The purpose of Gemilas Chasadim nowadays is the same purpose that of when Mashiach will come, which is that people should give. People should give to each other. Nowadays, in order to create that possibility, so we have to create a situation where there's people who are lacking. When Mashiach will come, so we'll give without creating that situation of people lacking. We'll give just because of the concept of giving. And that's in general going to be the whole nature of the world when Mashiach comes, that we're going to be doing Torah mitzvahs, Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim, everything will just be just to reach a higher level of Kedusha, not in order to fix any problems. So just to recap over here, so we talked about different levels of how we're going to fulfill tzedakah when Mashiach comes. So at a basic level, we asked, so if there won't be any tzedakah in the literal sense when Mashiach comes, so how is it one of the Tariag mitzvahs? So to that we answered, because it's still a mitzvah in the theoretical sense, right? Theoretically, if there will be a poor person when Mashiach will come, there will be a mitzvah to give to him. So that's in a very basic level. Now on a deeper level, so how could it be that we're not actually going to give tzedakah, gemilas chasadim? Seemingly that's one of the pillars that the world stands on. So for that we had three answers. One was the Chassam Sofer that we'll learn about it. One was an answer from the Rebbe that will fulfill the concept of tzedakah in a spiritual sense. We'll teach each other. There will still be a concept of tzedakah. And then we'll have the concept of gemilas chasadim, that we'll just give gemilas chasadim to each other just in order to give. So we should merit that through our giving tzedakah and our gemilas chasadim nowadays, so we should merit to the time of Mashiach when we'll be able to fulfill this mitzvah just lishmach, just for the sake of giving, and everybody will have everything that they need. La yibacha evya, and there won't be anyone who is poor, and it should happen, take it from Yad Mamash immediately.